Again, I want to welcome to each one. It's good to have Felix Hirschberger. I don't know if you, what's the name of your church? He's, are you the head, the pastor, or the, I don't know what your, how you call your, what your structure is there, but. Okay, in Kentucky. Most of you know John and Marty. His parents go there, right?
Yes.
And also, a lot of you know Noah Beaches, and they go there, I understand, right? So, good to have you here. I hope you can, you just can feel a part and let the Lord minister. I think we shouldn't take my thoughts are a little scattered. I was under a lot of stress yesterday, so I haven't even had time to, with everything going on yesterday, I wanted to, when I travel, I love to just be in my own little cocoon. Sometimes my wife is frustrated that I don't talk or whatever, but to me, it's like, that's my time to, I'm driving or whatever, but I'm focusing internally, I'm meditating and focusing, and I just didn't have much of that yesterday. I think we need to not take for granted when we pray for protection over each other. I know Sunday, Jeff asked me to close the service, and when I closed in prayer, I prayed for protection. I had no idea. And it was somehow, there was something about that Gary came up to me, and he just really picked up on that, and he was like, you know, yeah, he was like, you know, God protect you guys and so on. And I think we need to hold each other up, and we need to believe God. It's not that nothing bad will ever happen. I don't mean it in that way. God can choose. When we came into the fellowship meetings, I think it's why it stood out to Gary. When we came into the fellowship meetings, we were in Kansas on a two-lane road, and some of you know this, but we were, you know, speed limit 65, so we were going about 70, and going down a hill, and looked up, and here comes a pickup passing a semi on a two-lane road in our lane. And so I'm just like, well, you know what, the semi never slowed up, the pickup never slowed up and got behind the semi, and not just kept coming full speed right toward us. And finally, I just slammed on the brakes and got over on the right side of the road, and that pickup just passed us like that. And we're just like, what? I mean, what was that? Did the guy think it was a four-lane? You know, it was just, and we just got back on the road and kept going. And I looked in my mirror, and after he was past the semi, I mean, after he was past us, he got in front of the semi. It was like none of them were, I don't know what they, but anyhow, we need to pray for protection and seek God. And then in this trip, you know, too, it was just like, wow, just see the hand of God and how important it is that we do, we cover each other, we cover our congregations, the people in our churches, and ask for protection. And it's amazing how at times, you know, we just say that prayer maybe, and we don't know that how God's going to work that out in details throughout the week in our lives, in the lives of the people we're responsible for. So I praise him for protecting Bettina there. Let's turn to Proverbs 15. I want to just welcome Mel's and Seth's to the ministry time together. In In Proverbs 15:22, it says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. In the multitude of counselors, purposes are established. And I just want to think of that in connection with this whole thing of seeking God, first of all, as leaders. And I guess my heart is always, a lot of times, is especially toward the younger ones that are just put in the ministry and so on. And counsel here, it means a session. And so we're here to have a session. We're here to have counsel, to counsel each other, to have, and not just each other. We're here to have a session with God, with Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. I had asked Weldon to lead that song, We Place You in the Highest Place. That's just a theme in my heart. I didn't even think of that song, but it was going into the fellowship meetings. And I mentioned that briefly in the fellowship meetings. One of the concerns on my heart is that how much do we take upon ourselves as leaders in our churches? How much do we decide things? How much do the people that we pastor, how much of their lives are based on that they decide, this is where I want to walk. They decide, this is what's good for me. And I just believe that one of the great needs of our day and the hour that we live as a church is to really and personally and as a church together collectively and as leadership to really have a vision and a heart that, God, we want you to have the highest place. We give you the highest place. We want you to do what you want to do. And I want to, you know, as we talk over things these next few days or whatever, let's keep that in mind. The government is to be upon his shoulders. God has set Christ up that the government is on his shoulders. And again, we're not here to have a powwow or a council meeting that we put our heads together and decide how we want to govern, how things need to be governed in our churches. But first and foremost, may Jesus Christ have the highest place in our lives, in this meeting. And may the counsel that we share with each other, may it come from the wonderful counselor. It says there in Isaiah 58, it says, you know, his name shall be called the wonderful, but the wonderful and the comma counselor. But I think the thought there is he is the wonderful counselor. He is our counselor. And so as we counsel, we don't use that term a lot because, you know, I think there's been a little, you know, maybe a little bit of abuse of that in Western Christianity, the whole thing of counselors. But in counsel, there is purpose established. And again, let, as we speak to one another, as we, you know, decide things, may it come because the wonderful counselor is putting in our hearts what's on his heart. And for our own lives and also for the church. So, the thought there, I just looked up some of these words. I just thought it was interesting to me. It says a company of persons in close deliberation. And this is from the word study of this Hebrew word. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Confidential planning, confidential talk. And then purposes, that word means intentions, plans, thought, or purpose. And then the thought there, being disappointed, is being broken up, it's frustrated, it's made void, it comes to naught. So with a with a lack of getting together and having the counsel and the heart of God, the purpose of God is frustrated. God has purposes. God has plans. God has a will. God has something that He wants for our lives. He has something He wants for our churches. But if we don't have this counsel, this from the wonderful counselor, these things, you know, we see lives and we know people that we looked at their lives and it's like, that person has so much potential. But then you look later on and you're like, where is that? Or maybe a church seems, you know, starts with, it seems like God is really working there and brought something together, but 10, 15, 20 years down the road, you look at it, where is it? Where is the potential there? Where is what you sensed there originally? Is it being fulfilled? Is the purpose of God coming to pass? And I want to look at just some aspects of that. I don't want to do all the teaching here, so, but I do have a lot of things on my heart. So let's look at that. In the multitude of counselors, the purposes of God, the purposes are established. They come about. They're brought about. The purposes of God can stand. And that's what we want to do here in our time together these next couple days. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians 3 now. I want to look briefly at God's purposes for our lives as ministers. And I just felt some months ago God laid this on my heart to kind of start out here. Are we as ordained elders, leaders, deacons, whatever all the part is here, are we fulfilling the purpose of God for our lives? Or, you know, how do we see that? I really felt that God would desire that we continually have in our heart toward God, that God, whatever you have planned, whatever your expectations are for my life, that I fulfill that, I live that out. And I think of that even as I get older. I've just been reminded in my own life too. Is this all that God had? I mean, I'm thankful for all that He's done, and if this is what God had, I know I failed Him many, many times, and I know I'm sure I frustrated the purposes of God many times in my life, but. You know, to have the heart before God, even in old age. So this is, Alvin, I think you and I are, James is a little, I think we're the old guys here. And, you know, I think of Brother Clendenin. Oh, Jim. Jim's older than me, yeah, for sure. Well, Jim and Alvin are the old guys here. Thanks, Dotsie. I think of Clendenin, that faithfully served God in the capacity that God led him at. You know, he pastored and so on. And then, you know, everything that he learned in his years of ministry for, 30-some years or whatever, when he was 70, he goes and starts the School of Christ and you know, travels all over the world with that. And so, Jim, you're not done. You know, as we get older, I think it's easy for us to start pulling back and lose this sense that God, my life is here for you. And I guess my heart is wherever, if you're just starting or if we've been in this a long time in ministry, is like that we don't limit God with in our lives. We don't limit him. We don't just think that, okay, I have this position or, you know, I've been ordained or whatever, and this is what God has for me, and we don't continue to seek God and pursue God for the fullness of his purpose to come, be fulfilled in our lives. So that's in essence what I want to look at here briefly. In Ephesians 3, I'm gonna read verse 1. I think, does this thing just pull up? For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So Paul's talking here to the church at Ephesus. He's talking about God's call and God's purpose in his life. So think of that as we go down through here. Wherefore, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And again, why did God give Paul that special knowledge? Because he had a specific purpose for Paul's life. It wasn't just to somehow elevate Paul, but it was because of the purpose that God had for his life and then also what he had for the church, specifically the Gentiles, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And the same as this was true for Paul, this is true for us too. May this be true for us. We are made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God that's given unto us by the effectual working of his power. It isn't what we're able to accomplish. He's simply looking for a vessel that he can use and what that he can accomplish by his power through us as his ministers. He didn't ordain us because we were so qualified and we were so great and that we had so many gifts and that we had so much potential on our own. That's not why he ordained us. He ordained Paul because so that what came out of Paul and the purpose of his life was something that you could look back on and say that was the power of God in him, and it's the same with us. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So my thought here is So Paul is talking about God's call and purpose for his life. But then he also goes and he talks about God's call and purpose for the church. God's personal call and purpose for his life, how that he raised him up to fit into God's purpose for the church. That he could use him to build up the church, especially the Gentiles would come to Christ and be part of the church. But then he also even says the church fits into the purpose that he had for Jesus Christ. So I guess my thought is God's purpose and call on our life as leaders has to do with not just our personal call. It's because of the heart and the purpose he has for the church. So it's not just about us and what we're able to do, but it's what God wants to do through us as leaders because of his purpose for the church. And I want to look at that in another session. I believe that, and I'll just, you know, I should leave that, but I just believe that it has to do with our call and purpose as individuals. I believe that God wants to empower a people in this generation that know him, that work together, that walk together, that love each other like Aaron started out with there. That where the church is empowered. That's my heart. That the church is empowered in a mighty way to fulfill the call and the purpose of God in our generation. We'll look at that a little bit later. God has a distinct purpose for the church, and his purpose for our lives in calling us into the ministry is directly connected with his purpose for the church and his eternal purpose in Christ. We must never lose sight of the fact that his calling and purpose for us individually is because of his broader and fuller purpose for the church, and not to lift us up on a pedestal and to show others who we are or how or what our gifts are or whatever. If we lose sight of that, if we lose sight of God's broader purpose for the church, we can very quickly think, well, we've arrived as leaders and we're fulfilling God's purpose. And this is what God has for us, and he's given us this position. And we can become very arrogant at times, I think, in leadership, if because we think he's put us here, and this is his purpose for my life. But if I see what his purpose is for the church, if we can have a revelation of that, then we can start seeing how much we need to just really seek God, that God can use us, that no, we haven't arrived. Whatever areas of usefulness and giftings or whatever we have personally, if I see what God wants to do for the church yet, I realize that I need to continually fall on my face and cry out to God to continue to fill me with his Spirit, continue to empty me of myself, continue to cleanse me from every aspect of pride and arrogance or whatever, because the purposes of God are going to be frustrated in the church if we as leadership don't walk in the way that God wants us to walk. If we feel like, if we feel prideful in any way of our position and so on. I'm not talking about not walking in the authority that God has given us, but just Again, if we see what God wants to do for the church, we see how much we still need God to work in our lives, and we need to continue to seek God for his purpose for our lives. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Let me just move on here. This is when Paul was called by the Lord. Maybe I'll start in verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Wow. We would just all have that sensitivity to the voice of the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, and behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Let me read the next couple. And Ananias went his way and entered unto the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, he has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now let's go to Acts 13. So notice this, that God showed Ananias what the purpose and the call was on Paul's life. And it was to bear the name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. In Acts 13, 1 to 3, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed, and they went on their... This was the first missionary journey that they went to. And in chapter 44, I mean in verse 44... The next day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Let me read yet in chapter 26. And there's a reason I'm reading these scriptures to make a point. 26:15-18. This is when Paul was before King Agrippa. And this is what he tells the king here. And I said, verse 15, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And then then Paul says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So my point in reading this and showing this about Paul is many times the purposes of God in our lives are progressive. Paul was born again, he was called. The first thing he did was go to the Jews. Even though that wasn't, and yet God had called him to start, it seems like, to start with the Jews. But that was not the fullness of his purpose for his life. But he went to where he knew to go. He went to his people. He went to what he was familiar with. He went right after being born again. He went into the synagogue and started preaching Jesus. Later on, you know, when he went to Antioch, the church there, the leadership there, they felt clear that God is calling Paul to a further work, and they laid hands on him. We read that and sent him forth. And then he tells King Agrippa, I don't know when Paul knew. I don't know if Ananias told Paul. It doesn't say there what we read in Acts, that Ananias told Paul that you're called to go to the Gentiles. But God had showed that to Ananias, and somehow God made that clear to Paul. And so my point is, many times the call and the purpose of God on our life is progressive. One thing comes up, and God, God calls us. We take a step, and we respond to that, and we're, you know, we can think, it's like, wow, you know, this is what I'm called to. And yet, as we walk on with God, He just, you know, what God is seeking to do with our lives is to, that all of His purposes come to fruition, to fruitfulness. All of the purposes of God, there may be a lot of detours along the way that seem that way or whatever. A lot of things don't work out like we thought. Abe's shaking his head. You know, Abe's had some of that. We've all had some of those things. And again, the reason I bring this out is because that's why, to me, it's important, whatever stage we are at in ministry, that we continue to have a heart that cries out to God, that says, God, fulfill your purpose in this stage in my life. I've never been this old in ministry before. I mean, that's pretty obvious for all of us, but you know, so, you know, do we continue, even though we're ordained and God is using us in the setting we're in and the churches we're in, and you sense the grace of God, you sense the gift of God, you sense, you know, God using you in that place. Do we just kind of settle back and we're content with that? Or do we have this heart that says, God, thank you for where I'm at and where you've brought me, but continue to work your purpose in my life? Because again, I think it's seen very clearly throughout Scripture that the purposes of God are progressive. He takes us step by step. He allows us to go on many detours at times to get us, you know, sometimes we think all is lost. We can think, you know, that what was that all about? All is lost. And yet later, you know, as we continue to walk on with God, we can look back and say, wow, somehow God even used that, even the disappointing, the things that were hard. He has even used that because to fulfill a further purpose in my life, in our lives, and so on. And you know, we've all had, you know, when I was pastoring in Virginia, I loved the church. I think for the most part they loved me, and especially Martha. And you know, I was totally good with that. I mean, it was hard to think outside of that realm at all, because you know, I knew God was using us, God was working in the church, you know. And but if I wouldn't have, you know, if we wouldn't have allowed God to progressively take us on, we would have never went to Mexico. And in fact, when that first thought come up, it was like, no, I mean, I'm pastoring. Why would I go to Mexico? And yet, you know, we're just blessed to have some of these brothers and sisters with us here from there. So I just want to really encourage all of us, whatever stage we're in, to continue to seek God. Let me read my notes here. Paul began his ministry preaching to the Jews, his own people. He was in the will of God, and I believe was fulfilling God's purpose for his life at that time. But that wasn't God's full purpose for his life. He was called to the Gentiles. What did it take to get Paul to go from how God used him at that point to where his fuller purpose? What did it take? Alvin, I know you know. Just go ahead and say it.
I'm not sure what suffering it is or disappointment.
Rejection. The Jews rejected. And finally, Paul realized, you know what? Somehow this is in the purpose of God. This is going to get me into the real purpose, although that was the purpose of God for that moment, for that time in his life, but God had a fuller purpose and a further purpose. It was to minister to the Gentiles. And that rejection caused Paul to say, okay, that's it, I'm going to the Gentiles. Because and by then, Paul knew clear that God had called him to the Gentiles. Do any of us want to go through things like that? To get so God can, I mean, is there any possibility in the things that we've been through, you've been through, that God used some of those things because he has a fuller purpose for your life? And at the time, it seems so devastating. It seems like, you know, Is God done with me? You know, we wrestle. We're humans. We wrestle with those things. You know, is this, you know, Paul could have just said, well, you know, if I wasn't effective to my own people, how would I be effective to the Gentiles? And, but, you know, Paul had an understanding. He had an understanding of the Father that, you know, what God is using this to get me into a in a further place. And, you know, with the calling and the purpose of God. In Paul's mind, he probably thought that those Gentile cities where he went to was the fulfilling of God's call and purpose. But God even had a further purpose in Paul's ministry that I don't know if Paul ever realized till he got to, you know, till he got to heaven. And that is that you and I are still, 2,000 years later, we are still receiving from God's even fuller and further ministry and purpose for Paul. God's purpose was to go to the Gentiles, but we also see in Scripture, by what he wrote, that God's purpose also, that wasn't even the fullness of it. It was to write Scripture. And that the church through 2,000, however long till Jesus comes back, is still going to reap the fruit of Paul living and walking in the full purpose of God for his life. Is it possible that some of you here might wonder how effective or how much you've really lived out the purpose of God for your life, and maybe after you're gone, things in your journal, things that you wrote or whatever are so profound that it encourages people even after you're gone? That's what happens to a lot of servants of God. Some of them publish their writings while they're still living. Others, someone finds their writings, and God has used it tremendously to minister to his body and to strengthen his church. Again, God has a purpose for the church. That's why he raises us up. He has a purpose for the church, not just for us. Let's turn to, I'm going to just look at some other just aspects of God's purpose for Paul's life, and I think we can realize that it's very potentially that's his purpose. Some of these things overlap in his purpose for our life. In 1 Timothy, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Not sure what that one is, but 12, I thank Jesus, or Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was a blasphemer, and so on. He goes through, he says there that he was a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and under unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So, can we have this confidence that, for we thank God that He has put us in the ministry. It wasn't just the church that called us. First of all, He has put us in the ministry. And we just have that confidence of that. And then in chapter 2, verse 7, Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I was just blessed by just how clear Paul was and how confident he was, not in arrogance, in great humility and thankfulness and gratefulness to God, but yet with great confidence that he knew that God had put him in his place, and he knew that God, what the purpose of God was for his life at that time, and he just simply walked that out. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 1. I want to look at verse 16, verse 15, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days and so on. And I'm not at all advocating, you know, the independence, but my thought was here in bringing some of these scriptures is simply the confidence that Paul had that he is fulfilling God's call in his life. And especially you younger ones in leadership, as you need to just keep seeking God and keep letting the grace of God and the ministry of Christ to you personally just give you confidence, even though you're young. You know, we know how Paul was used then. This is another purpose for Paul's life was to raise up other men under him and put into them what God had put into him. That was also God's purpose for, again, because of God's purpose for the church. The church needed leadership. The church needed men. And God's purpose in Paul and some of these apostles was to pour out from them into young men that they in return, and I have that scripture here, that they in return could raise up others, because again, it wasn't so much about the preacher, the Paul. It was because God had a vision for the church. God had a plan for the church. God had a purpose for the church. So this needed to go on. In Romans 15, I think I'll read that yet. We also see Paul bringing out here a further purpose that God had for his life that I think developed. It was progressive. It developed as Paul walked with God. I think he began to see, and he began to just walk in the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life, and it, you know, again, if we give Christ the highest place in our life, just walking with him, we don't have to try to figure out all what is the purpose. We will look back as we walk with him and realize that we walked in the purposes of God. He's not asking us to figure it out or to know it all ahead. I don't know. I still ask God, you know, I'm willing to die there in Trinidad, be buried there. If this, that's what God had for me, it's totally fine. I'm not looking for anything else. Just as a personal ambition, if you understand what I mean. But I want my heart to be open to God. That I love it there. I'm glad to die there. But is that the purpose of God for my life? That's my question. If it is, then praise God. I'm very content with that. But if God has a further purpose, and how do... I don't know that. I can't... I don't know for sure. Sometimes I have ideas and things come or whatever, but as we walk with the Holy Spirit, under the leadership, under the headship of Jesus Christ in our lives and in our churches, simply walking with God, He is able to get us into those things. We don't have to try to make them happen. He can, we just simply need to follow Him. Paul says here in Romans 15, I think I'll start in verse 15. Nevertheless, well, let me read verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all the knowledge, and also able to admonish one another. See how much that was on Paul's heart for the church too. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Notice how much Paul writes about this. How much this was a part of Paul's life and how he spoke about it. How much do we walk in humility and yet in confidence that we just know that I'm walking right where God wants me to walk, and we can just say, we can speak that to each other. I mean, notice this. I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace of God that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. How far was I going to read there? 20, down to 22. Okay. So one thing you see here is that Paul also realized that God had called him to preach where the gospel was never preached. I don't know that he knew that right at first, but that he, as he walked with God, I think in looking back, he realized that he was called to go where the gospel was never preached. Paul talked to the Corinthians there about one man, you know, one man lays a foundation, another watereth, and whatever, however all that is, but it's God that gives the increase. So I think Paul is acknowledging that there's some that are called to build upon the foundation that Paul laid. And it's the same way with us. Some of you someday might be called somewhere where the gospel was never preached before. And this is, I guess, my heart for us as leadership. If we're just content that we're ordained now, and this is the purpose of God for us, we might dismiss out of our minds some of the further things of the purpose of God for our lives. Some of you are called to build on the foundation that's already been laid. That's, again, his purpose is for the church, and that's something that, you know, that has to be done. There has to be, you can't just go out and pioneer work and start new work without someone coming along and building up what on the foundation that was laid. So that's some of our purposes here and callings. Okay, I think I will just stop there. About 5-6 minutes. Maybe I'll just open it up. Is there any thoughts? Let's again in the multitude of counselors. Aspects of this that maybe God laid on your heart. Maybe something difficult that you've been through. And now looking back, you realize how God used that to get you into a further, not that you weren't in his purpose then, but to get you in a further place of his purpose. I mean, I look at a lot of you. Mel's part of Gospel Express. You know, I think most of us have aspects of that. Ed's South Africa. You know, look at John and James, you know, on their journey. Thing. Amen. That's good. Amen. All things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. Amen. I look at Abe too. I mean, your journey, you know, I mean, isn't it exciting that sometimes these difficult things that just tear our hearts out almost. And yet you look back and you realize God is working out his purpose in our lives and allowing some of those things. And again, most of us that have been in ministry, you know, for some years and so on, you just realize looking back how you face things that you realize that the things you went through in ministry prepared you to be able to have an answer to help someone or whatever in what you're, you know, where you're at and what you're facing now. And it's amazing. It's amazing the purpose of God for our lives. And I think we just need to really just have that heart that God, fulfill your purpose for my life. And how we can, you know, another thought can be, you know, how we can encourage each other and speak into each other's lives. I have that at the end of my notes, but, you know, when I was a deacon, I was put in as a deacon in the Mennonite church here in Virginia. I mean, I knew who I was, and I mean, I was so surprised in one sense that, you know, God would put me in as a deacon that, you know, I mean, to me it's like, man, somehow I you know, that I mean, it, that's probably it. I mean, that's probably all. And there was a guy in the community, old man that had a big white beard, and he hung around us occasionally and come to church and stuff sometime. And one day, in the evening, I was home after work, And he pulls into the driveway. I was like, okay, what's he want? He just came up to me and he said, you know, God, I was going by, God told me to stop and tell you that he's got a further call on your life than just being a deacon here in this church. And I was like, you know, my first reaction was, you know, not even to receive it. But he just said, God clearly showed me. He said, and that, you know, him speaking that, when God began to fulfill that, I you know, I realized that in a sense, God used that man to help prepare me to entertain that thought and realize that, no, he is calling me. You know, later on, I became the pastor then. And he even, you know, he even spoke something about, he feels like even beyond pastoring, God has a further call on my life. Well, I couldn't believe I was a deacon. And I didn't even do nothing really as a deacon back then. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. But do you understand? And I just say that to the glory of God. You know, let God speak. Let us speak to one another. Because who knows? You know, otherwise, I might have never even allowed myself to be considered to be the pastor later on. You know, that helped prepare my mind. I started thinking, well, maybe God, you know, it brought a serious, it didn't bring pride, it brought a brokenness, it brought a seriousness to me. You know, God's calling me to something further, and I felt overwhelmed with where I was at and so insignificant and how, you know, all of that. So, is there any other thoughts? I'm sorry.